Welcome to yet another episode and another fascinating trivia. Today we're going to be talking about Glow on Netflix. I'm going to do things a little easier this time around, not just for me, but for also for you. This will be a true-false trivia. 10 questions. Question 1. Purposefully, David McLean and Jackie Stallone set out to find amateurs that knew nothing of wrestling for their program. True or false? Question 2. The band women in the show, and we're talking about the actual Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, not the Netflix show. Question 2. Bad women traveled separately from the good girls. True or false? Question 3. True or false? The women did not have curfews, even though May depicted in the show. Question 4. In the Glow ring, some of the match gimmicks were not exactly what anyone would call. Bassoon and other wrestlers would invoke iconography from Nazis. Is that true or false? Was that actually a thing? Were Nazis part of the show? We didn't see it in, you know, we saw Russia in the Netflix show, but was it Nazis in the actual show? Question 5. The wrestling bouts were in between the wrestling bouts were comedic skits in which grapplers would visit team physicians, Dr. Feel and Dr. Grope. Are these the actual names? True or false? Dr. Feel and Dr. Grope. Is that appropriate? Question 6. True or false, the show was heavily respected by real female wrestlers. Real female wrestlers truly love Glow. True or false? Question 7. Every show featured a rap. Is that true or false? True or false? Question 8. Rapping on Glow was inspired by the Chicago Bears Super Bowl Shuffle. Is that true or false? True or false? Question 9. While Glow was a modest rating success, none of the cast was asked back for a fourth season of Glow. The abrupt ending reportedly the result of financier in the Riviera Hotel withdrawing its participation in the project. Because of Pia Sidora. So, true or false, the wife of the owner of the Riviera Hotel killed Glow. True or false? And final question, number 10. After Glow went off the air in 1992, cast members pursued opportunities for a pay-to-play wrestling for a reasonable fee. So, true or false, could you pay to wrestle these women after they were no longer part of the program, but that was their way of earning money? True or false? Pretty easy. I mean, you know, where do I go? Do I do a whole, you know? I think true or false was the best way to go. But, yeah, commercial break, on with the show. You ready? Here we go. You know, I mentioned before that, you know, my wife and I, we watch television shows. We stream television shows after the kids go to bed, and that's kind of our thing. Wine and Nachos, right? We've talked about this, I think. But this is one of those shows she did not watch with me. I started watching GLOW at work, actually. Previous job. Yes, I work at a job where I could watch TV all day. And I started watching GLOW. You know, it's a lot of promotion. Jeez. They put stuff... I mean, it was the first time I ever saw Netflix billboards. I thought it was confusing. I was like, why do they need to worry about this? The first season was 10 episodes long. This was in June of 2017. And then they renewed the series for a second season, 10 episodes long. And that was 2018. And then this year, we saw the third season, which came out in August of 2019. And they have renewed it for a fourth, and please note, final season, which will be out in 2020, which, you know, good things can't last forever, especially nowadays. So, you know, I truly do like this show. Maybe it's because I watched wrestling as a kid, not, you know, this was before my time, I guess. Because the 80s, you know, baby watching wrestling. But, yeah, I mean, there's just something about it. The acting's, like, stellar. And I don't think people respect that, unfortunately. But the show's progressed really well. But it also has gone down as far as popularity as well, going into three. And I think that's just because of society. You know, we're all about instant gratification, and if they could make a show that was a brand new episode every week for the end of time, it would be a very popular show. People don't like waiting. They lose interest and they lose love, which is sad. Season 1 for GLOW, as far as critics' response, 103 ratings, 94% certified fresh audience score. Not certified fresh, I guess, but it's 90%. That's reasonable. I mean, over 1,300 people reviewing it. As far as rotten reviews from World, which apparently is a magazine or something. Never heard of it. Rotten Review, quote, GLOW is merely a cheeky commentary on sexism using high leg cut costumes. The dichotomy comes off as bizarre. Okay. Well, I'm sure she's a ball of laughs. Den of Geek, positive review, quote, the show has some moments that could definitely have been left on the cutting room floor, but it's overall a very watchable and funny look at the 1980s, the entertainment industry, and the world of pro wrestling. I agree, Den of Geek. NPR, ooh, quote, in the same way the Wrestling League surprised viewers 30 years ago, viewers may be surprised to find Netflix GLOW is one of the best new shows they'll see this summer. Newsday, quote, GLOW is terrific. But how could it be otherwise? The source material alone makes this an instant winner. Let's see if there's any other negatives. I do love making some balance. That's actually, jeez. Positive. This is a quote from the arts desk. Whatever that is. Not quite funny enough to work as a comedy. Not dramatic enough to work as a drama. GLOW all feels about as emotionally real as the fake moves of the wrestling ring. You know, fake or not, you know, you jump off a post 5 feet in the air and do a flip and land your body, knees on the ring, looking like you're landing on somebody's chest. That's not fake. The pain they inflict on others may be fake, but the pain they inflict on themselves is not. The Straits Times, Singapore based, quote, "The trouble is, Cohen is not the main writer here. While well-intentioned, this underdog story about a group of women subverting the patriarchy falls short of her high standards." Subverting the patriarchy. Guardian, quote, "If it had only allowed you to turn off the bits of your brain that noticed horrendous flaws, perhaps GLOW could have been more open about what it truly is. A problematic riot. But one that's by no means here to change anything." Maybe that's why I like it. It's not trying to do something. It's just there. Vanity Fair, quote, "What makes GLOW initially so vibrant and exciting quickly fades. And what's left is a passable comedy staffed with good actors that gradually loses its wits." Okay. Let's see. Well, let's go obscure. St. Louis Post-Dispatch, quote, positive. "GLOW is often very funny, but it also plays and works as drama, a balance that would more often be found in an hour-long show. The half-hour format, though, is just right, leaving a viewer eager to bounce and roll through the 10-episode first season." I think it's a really quick watch. Let's see. Oh, boy. Forbes, Rotten Review, quote, "Based on the first 5 episodes of the series, it's just not a fun story to binge. Is it important? Maybe. Is it anything more than Orange is the New Black with wrestlers? Not really." I don't know what he means by that. But here's one that kind of goes in line, a positive quote from TV Line, quote, "Fans of Orange is the New Black will find themselves on familiar ground with GLOW, and that's a very good thing." Entertainment Weekly, quote, "Netflix's GLOW is unlike any show I've ever seen." I guess she hasn't seen Orange is the New Black. "I love it so much. It made me laugh, cry, think, and pump my fists in the air screaming, yes, yes, yes." That's season one. Okay. Season one, I mean, it took place, you know, primarily as the start of the show. And then season two, I think, you know, continued that, developing relationships more. But not really going away from the original season. So, as far as Rotten Reviews, the audience score and the critic score went up percentage-wise. People enjoyed season two a lot more than season one, which is great. Vanity Fair, quote, they need spell check. "In its second season, though, the show never quite seems to know who it's about." That's a poorly constructed sentence. Let's first put that out there. I mean, the show is about the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. It's about everybody. We don't need these single character shows where you follow this one person, you know. TV Guide, quote, "One reason GLOW works so well is that it makes you uncomfortable. Complicated conversations about gender, sexual harassment, race, and sexuality fun." Sometimes when I read these reviews, you know, people that watch TV for like a living, right? Do they not have a very diverse group of friends? Because, you know, I think GLOW, you know, TV Guide said, GLOW works so well to make you uncomfortable to talk about complicated conversations about gender, and harassment, race, and sexuality. What do you do when you have conversations with real people? First of all, it shouldn't be uncomfortable to talk about any of those things, okay? Because it's all part of being a human being. But apparently they thought it was quite fun to talk about all these complicated conversations. Ooh, it's so exciting. Oh, these are the worst. All right. London Evening Standard, quote,
"All that I know, Ernest gets in the way of it, being properly engaging. You can feel them trying hard to tick boxes, and that comes at the expense of real fun."
I don't know. I don't even know what that means. But I did read it verbatim. But because it's from the London, I had to talk it. It was a seemingly female reviewer, so I had to do it in character. Yeah. Arizona Republic, quote, "With its big hair, power ballad soundtrack, and Lycra outfits, Glow is glorious 80s nostalgia." You know, Netflix, they're really on the 80s bandwagon here. I'm not, because everybody else is. And everybody on my friends list, you know, Facebook stuff, posting things about how great the 80s were, blah, 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 blah. They were all born in the 90s. Or, you know, you have the... It's like, oh man, Glow's great. Or not even Glow, it's, you know, people don't talk about Glow, that's why I am. But people talk about Stranger Things, like, oh, look at the brands, blah, look at the stories in the background. Oh boy, I was born in 1989, so why do I even care or pretend? A lot of phonies out there. You know, once they start selling 80s merch at Spencer's Gifts, you know, it's gone. It's over. But I do like the show. And they don't rely too heavily on the nostalgia, actually. Even though we're reading all these reviews and these people think they really know what they're talking about. Season 3, however, we saw quite a drop. Tomato meter at 89%. Audience score at 78%. And we know we were in the high 90s there with Season 2. So what happened? What happened? Season 3 follows the ladies of Glow as they take the Vegas Strip by storm. Now they headline at the Fantan Hotel and Casino. The women quickly realize Sin City is much more grime than glitter. Even the team cheerleaders, Ruth, she has to take a back seat to her growingly complicated personal life. Debbie's a producer now. Continues to be consumed with guilt over the distance between her and her son, but he eventually moves with her to Vegas, so that's goes away. And as the residency wears on, the line blurs between performance and reality, and the cast find themselves struggling with their own identities, both in and outside of the ring. So with this one, we should be able to find a few rotten reviews. I'll read some user ones. Super boring. Nothing happened until the last episode. Okay. I love when they really get into detail. It really, really shows. The first two seasons of Glow are good to great. Season 3 is mediocre at best. They dive too deeply into the somewhat vapid lives of the girls of Glow. Vapid. These are all men. Seemingly.
Some episode in season 3 should be dropped. The camping trip was useless. And the sex scene with Bash, his wife, and another guy was unwarranted.
Okay. Oh, professional. The Atlantic, quote, "Season 3 is a patchwork of meaningful interludes. Rote character check-ins." See, I gotta look that word up. "And errant plot threads that quickly unravel. Even Vegas itself is an afterthought." What is rote? R-O-T-E. Wrote. Wrote. R-O-T-E. It says, rote character check-ins. And rote means mechanical or habitual repetition of something to be learned. Oh, I'm sorry, The Atlantic. I have no idea what you mean by that. I feel bad. I feel bad. Here's another Rotten Review quote. Plenty of great characters to work with. So the appeal to distributing screen time more evenly presents is evident. Presence is evident. Oh my gosh. I need another vacation. But there are just so many characters that an execution, not picking favorites, leaves a lot of storylines feeling spread pretty thin. Oh my gosh, that's like the longest sentence. There's no period. There's just 11 commas. Oh, great. another rotten quote. Why do almost all the characters and their racialized narratives in this season have to constantly be linked to a white member of the cast? Either sympathizing or learning something new about people who are constantly othered. Okay, I guess I'm trying to think of specific things. That they're referencing where someone's race has caused a white member of the cast to learn something new. You know, honestly, season 3 did deal with some of the stereotypes that are used in the show. I mean, I don't care what decade your show takes place. I think it would be offensive, you know, for you to be, you know, a Cambodian character and you're playing a wrestler named Fortune Cookie. It's horrible. And I think I know why they waited until season 3 to tackle these concerns is because we, you know, we were really invested in most of these characters coming into this season, and to see their vulnerabilities now is, you know, it's heartbreaking as opposed to just upsetting. And I think the show, even though season 3 got really bad, you know, not bad reviews, but much lower scores than previous two seasons, I don't know why, but Uproxx quote, fans of the series will enjoy the new setting, and these characters are still so wonderful, but the season grows aimless and doesn't do so in a satisfying way. I don't think it was aimless. I thought it was important, but here I am, not agreeing with professionals. If you haven't watched Glow, I mean, you know, I'm sure you've tried it, and it's, you know, it's not for everybody, I understand that, but, you know, we're coming into the year of the final season, and, I'm looking forward to how they tie everything up with a bow, and looking forward to seeing how this ends. Kind of like this episode. It's gonna end like this. Well, it's true or false answer time. You ready for that? Okay. Let's do this. Question one, yes. Yes, yes, yes. True, true, true. They did purposely try to get people that did not really know anything about wrestling because they weren't really open about it being a wrestling show. They had people come in and train. Some of them going unconscious during the training 3 days a week. Just putting themselves through very, very strenuous exercises in a ring, and then finally telling them that's what the show was. So true, they did look for people that didn't know what they were doing. Question two, true, the bad women and the good girls did travel separately, almost like two competing dorms, be it in a car or in the hotel, they were separate at all times. And this is when they were to a room at the Riviera Hotel. Question three. False. The women did in fact have curfews at the Riviera in Vegas. According to women interviewed for the documentary Glow, the story of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, producers would fine the women $250 if they were caught coming back to the hotel past their allotted time. And I did see that documentary. And you should too. Question four. Yes, there were Nazis in the show. There were. Great. Let's keep that train going. Question five. Dr. Feel and Dr. Grope, true or false, were that the doctor's names in the skits? Unfortunately, for society, yes, they were Dr. Feel and Dr. Grope. How wonderful. Question six, false. Real wrestlers hated Glow. Real female wrestlers hated Glow. While pro wrestling was already a sort of parody of itself, Glow seemed to take it to the next level. And wrestler Malia Hosaka once commented that she, quote, had no respect for Glow. I actually had one Glow girl tell me they were out there to make fun of women's wrestling. Wow, that would do it. Question seven. True, every single episode had a rap. It truly did. And it was pretty bad. Question eight. True, it was, all of their raps were inspired by the successful single from the Chicago Bears, the Super Bowl Shuffle. Typically, Glow would start each episode with a rap. And you really need to just YouTube it if you want to experience that. It's pretty bad. Question nine. The wife of the owner of the Riviera, who was the financier for Glow, did in fact make her husband shut down the program. So, that's what happens, you know? I don't know what. There's probably a lot of backstory there we're missing. And finally, question 10. True, you could pay to wrestle former stars of Glow for money, which is odd, but absolutely and 100% true. Until next week, what was I gonna do? I was gonna do maybe another Disney Plus show. I think that'd be best. Or Hulu. I don't know. We'll see. See you next week. Good gaming, good streaming, good night.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.